Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Beha'alosecha, which is, of course, a jam-packed Parsha. In fact, it gives us an opportunity. This coming Shabbos, Rav Shachter would often remind us that we have the opportunity, says the Magen Avraham, to be mekayim a mitzvah del reis of Zechira. We have a responsibility and an opportunity to remember Zachor, Eis Asher Asah, Hashem Elokecha leMiriam, that we have the opportunity to remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam because of the Avera, the terrible sin of Lashon Hara, but we'll get back to that a little bit later. Instead, we begin the parasha on a high note where the parasha comes around and tells us facing the face of the menorah, Ya'iru Shiva Saneros. And Rashi explains that the side candles had a flame that faced inward towards the center. However, in Parshas Truma, Rashi notes that it wasn't the flames, but rather it was the candles themselves that were supposed to face the center. So why do we need two separate shatim? So Rav Pinkas Atzal explains that there are two different ideas being expressed here. One is about the structure of the menorah, the other in terms of the flame. In Truma, because Parshas Truma in general is talking about the structure, and here we speak of the flame itself. When it comes to structures, sometimes we need a kivun, we need a direction, as to know which way things are supposed to be structured, but also in terms of functionality. Sometimes we need to function ourselves and make ourselves function directly towards a center pole. Not only should we set our she'ifos there for structurally, but we should make sure that things that are planned a certain way turn out a certain way. And then we're told about the service of the Levium. And we're told, Ben Chamesh, the Esrim Shanava Mala, Yavolut Svot Sava. We're told that this is what that you do for the Levium from 25 and above, they should go serve in the Ohel Moed. And Rashi notes that elsewhere, the proper age for the working in the Mishkan was 30, not 25. And so, therefore, how do we make a sense out of the gap of 5 years? Rashi explains that there must have been a 5-year apprenticeship that was set aside for the Levium. And Rashi is that we learn that learning takes 5 years of success before a person has a right to give up. But the question has to be raised. This is true for a Levi. A Kohen does not get the internship. The Levi has the easier job. He gets 5 years. Why does that make any sense? So the Shemin Atov, the late great Rabbi Bernard Weinberger Zatzal, suggests that the Kohen is retired only when he develops a mum. A Levi retires when he hits that age, that hard age of 50. There's a limit set to the time that a Levi is allowed to serve. And so therefore, in order to make sure that the Levi makes the most of his time, a solid internship period was demanded. So that this way, okay, he may work 5 years less, but the 20 years that he'd be able to serve, he'd be able to serve fully and correctly without any sort of difficulty. Therefore, we give him a 5-year internship. Then we read about the story of Pesach Sheni, which also happens to apply to the Levium. We're into the families of Mishael and El Tzafan. Turned and asked Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't get a chance to bring the Karban Pesach, but Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? We went to Beri Nadav and Aviyu, and we were what we call Osik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. We were involved in a mitzvah, and so therefore we were exempt from Karban Pesach. Why should we lose out on bringing Karban Pesach? And of course, the question has to be raised, why should a second chance make any difference? Osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah means I don't need a second chance. So why am I chayiv? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to this example? And why were the people so downtrodden about the loss? So the late great Mashgiach of Lakewood, Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachfogel Zatzal, explains that it wasn't the obligation that inspired the people. The obligation, yeah, they were takapater from. It was the opportunity to be close to Hashem in the moment of sharing Karban Pesach. That's what the family of Mishael and El Tzafan wanted. Through no fault of their own, they lost out. And so they wanted to give themselves that second chance at closeness, and so they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out from that chance to be close? Then Yisro decides he's going to go ahead and disappear, and Moshe and Aaron try to convince him not to go. They tell him, Vayusalanu le'inayim, you're going to be the eyes for us. And the question again has to be raised, why do they need Yisro's advice or guidance? All of their traveling was conducted al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yiso, based on divine instruction. What do you need the guidance of a Yisro in that situation? So the late great Rav Elia Meir Bloch Zatzal, the famous Talzer Rosh Hashiva, explains that unlike tzaddikim like Moshe and Aaron who were born righteous, Yisro was unique. And why was he unique? He was a self-made and self-taught individual. Many people had a hard time looking to Moshe Rabbeinu as a role model, as Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness seemed so far removed from the people. And so therefore Moshe asked Yisro to stay and serve as an example of what every person can become if he only recognizes and uses his latent potential. Then we read about the story of the Chatzotzros, and we're told, Kisavo milchama ba'artzechem al atzar ta'atzorer eschem. We're told that when there will be a battle in your world, and so you should blow the Chatzotzros, and Rav Shlomo Goren Zatzal blew the shofar at the time of the capture of the city of Yerushalayim. And Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita explained to us that Rav Goren held that the time of the Six-Day War was a milchemes mitzvah, and he felt that the blowing of the shofar was part of a way that a Jew prepares himself for a milchama, and ergo, one should know that the blowing of the shofar at the time of the Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim events today, says Rav Shechter to us, is really just a zecher to the time. Well, when the blowing of the shofar had that opportunity that Rav Goren was talking about, which elevated the status of tefillah to the higher status of calling out to Hashem of Za'aka. So Rav Shechter also added to us on a number of occasions that there is a difference between the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the one at the time of the war. Quoting Rav Soloveitchik, he pointed out that the blowing on Rosh Hashanah is tekiah trua tekiah. The one of the time of war is trua tekiah trua. Why is that? So Rav Soloveitchik explains that the former is the story of man. Man is created yashar. And then what happens? Man is sometimes broken because he goes ahead and he sins, and that's what a tshuva is all about. So you start straight, you're broken, but through the process of tshuva, one can go ahead and achieve the tekiah status again. During a time of war, the opposite happens. A person has the opposite experience. War is a situation which by definition begins as a tshuva, as a broken state. Yes, we set our goals of being miyasher ourselves as a tekiah, but we never should leave off our eyes from the fact that in this moment we are bitzar, we are sitting in a trua state, and so therefore we have to rise to the occasion. Then Moshe Rabbeinu reaches out to Ribbono Shalom and says he can't do it on his own anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, that's fine, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to set aside 70 zakenim, v'atzalti min haruach, and I'm going to take from your spirit and I'm going to give it to the zakenim. And Rashi explains that this was done because in the moment, Moshe Rabbeinu functioned like a candle. The candle has a flame that gives over, but the flame, when it gives over, is not diminished in the process. So Rav Volbi Zatzal asked why Hashem needed to use Moshe Rabbeinu. Why didn't he just give the zakenim their own power directly? So Rav Volbe answers that to properly receive Torah, one needs to get it from a source, from a Rebbe who makes the Torah power come alive. That's our job as Rebbeim, as Mechanchim, and as Talmidim, and as receivers. We didn't just see ourselves as bumps on a log, as pieces that are just getting things in the middle. We have to rise to the occasion in order for us to be able to achieve. We're also told that at the end of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gets into a situation where his brother and his sister wind up discussing Moshe Rabbeinu's decision to be Pori Shram Tzipora. And he makes a declaration, Im yene vi'achem Hashem b'mareh elav esvada b'chalom adaber bo. If someone among you experiences the prophecy, I'll make myself known to him in a vision, I'll speak to him in a dream. Why are so many nevuos seen in dreams? So Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk explained that dreams perform a vital function in the world. The fact of the matter is that great dreams are the very foundation of the universe. And dreams exist on many levels. There are the dreams of Nevi'im and the conscious dreamings of poets. There are the idealistic dreams of great visionaries for a better world. And then there are the dreams that, sometimes as we discuss them, they're national dreams of Geula. That's what we say, B'shuv Hashem Eshivas Tzion, Ha'inu Kachomim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of the captivity, we'll be like dreamers. And while some foolishly take pride in being realists and insist on taking into account only the present state of the world, that is really only a partial and fragmented view of reality. It's the dreams that liberate us from the limitations of reality. It's the dreams that accurately reflect and reveal the inner truth of our universe at large, says Rav Kook. And so therefore it's the Nevi'im who have that opportunity to bring the dream, the truth of the dream, out into the reality. And finally, in the Haftorah this week, we read the famous Haftorah of the vision of Zechariah, which also had to be interpreted. And Yoshua hayalavush begadim tzoim. Yoshua was wearing the dirty clothing. And how could the big day kahuna that are supposed to be used, lekavod uleteferes, be turned in a dream into filthy clothes? So Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal noted that clothes is really symbolic of his children. The children of Yoshua were deemed unworthy. And he adds, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal, that is, he adds that the filth and chait are synonymous. And that's how we are supposed to look at each and every sin as it comes up. We feel filthy. We feel dirty. We feel that it's not appropriate. We have a responsibility to live up and to keep up and to be higher people and to have higher aspirations. If we go ahead and we achieve that, we will not only get past that situation of lo b'chayav v'lo b'koach, but we will achieve the ultimate ge'ula, ki im beruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that we get the opportunity to see Besoros Tovos and a Shabbat Shalom, Liyom Shekulo Shabbos Mnucha for all.